And joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon is writer Dennis Ward, here with his new book that has just been published called Mademoiselle Gigi, the story of a young Jewish girl's struggle to survive the Nazi occupation of France. And before we talk about this book, Dennis, I want to take you back just a little bit, because I know you were here in our studios at one point talking about this wonderful play that you wrote that was performed in Lafayette called Chez Giselle. And people remember the play very fondly. It was sold out for many nights as well. So I know you were quite pleased with that and got the idea to start the book after that. So let's go back to the character who we're going to be talking about. We'll mention her in the play and then talk about your novel that you've written. Gigi, who was Giselle?
She was born in Paris, and she married a Cajun soldier right after the war in Paris. And she immigrated to this region in 1946. And she later started a gay bar called Chez Giselle. It was here in downtown Lafayette. It started out as one little small bar, but it was wildly popular. And it was so popular, she quickly outgrew that size of that bar. And so she bought a club that was owned by a country and western singer, Al Terry, and that accommodated 500 people. So she had a cabaret-style, Parisian-style nightclub called Chez Giselle on the Abbeville Highway, right across from the Mall of Acadia.
Oh, my. So she touched a lot of lives eventually with that cabaret, that nightclub.
It was a very inclusive place. She welcomed if you were gay, black, white, straight. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter. Mm-hmm. And I learned a lot of stories from people who came to the productions. There were two productions, one in 2010 and 2011, and people told me stories that were beyond the years of Chez Giselle. Mm-hmm. And I started learning the incredible story of her life as a teenage girl in France during the Nazi occupation.
So before that, you really just knew of her as the
fun-loving
owner of this nightclub. Did you ever go there?
I didn't live in this region. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. Before she died, I had taped an interview with her, and I found out a lot of details about the years she had the club, and there was a basis to write the play.
Mm-hmm. Well, how did you first encounter her? How did you learn about her?
We actually met at a restaurant. She would go to this particular restaurant, Chez Jacqueline in Burbridge, and have bouillabaisse on Mondays.
Wow.
And so we met and quickly became friends. And I was just beginning to learn French at that time, and so she helped me. And we became very good friends till the end of her life.
Describe her as you knew her at that point. What was her personality like?
Anybody who had met her would say she had a monumental sense of humor. She was a little bit of a jokester. She loved telling stories. She was full of energy, full of life. She loved to dance. She loved to be with people. She was a magnet. She truly was a magnet for a wonderful spirit that mm-hmm. drew people to her.
Mm-hmm.
Very kind, very generous, and a monumental sense of humor.
Well, did she miss not having the nightclub? Was that something that she...
Yes, she did. Mm-hmm. Those years were very special, and she would tell me a lot of stories, and I was just amazed. One of the stories is Beau Soleil, played their first gig at Chez Giselle.
In the 70s, probably.
In the 70s, Michael Doucet confirmed that on opening night of Chez Giselle, that they had played at Chez Giselle.
So she had live bands playing there, and some were, you wouldn't think of them as Parisian or cabaret style, but sort of hard rocking bands from this area.
She had Zydeco, Cajun bands.
Everything.
She had live acts with acrobats, snake handlers, just you name it. It was quite a variety act. But that's very common in Paris. And she had a grandfather that had actually performed in some of the cabarets. He was a magician. And so I think that tradition was strong in her family. Mm-hmm. He had been in the circus and going back to the Russian circus. And so all that was strong in their history.
She felt quite comfortable with that kind of entertainment.
Right.
Well, how did you start shaping that play, Chez Giselle? What was tell us about that play and how you created a story out of it. What was the focus of that story?
I used the interview, basically. It was done in a timeline. In the story, there is a murder of an employee that is still a cold case to today. And that was the climax of that story. And she carried on after the murder. She held the club together a little while, but it was a turning point for her.
Mm-hmm. And what year did that happen?
1971.
So that was early on. Mm-hmm. And so the play is not a lighthearted cabaret can-can kind of play. How did you, that's obviously a tragic thing to happen in there, but how did
it's
you?
It's a dark comedy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think Giselle's humor and spirit comes out in the play. It's called a drag comedy noir.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's choreography, there's lip syncing, there's music. And the conflicts actually turn out to be kind of funny. One is a sheriff coming in, not wanting to see men dancing with men. And I couldn't believe at the first opening night, I heard a roar backstage, and the crowd loved this. They loved us, the drag queens, pulling people out of the audience and pretending to dance, heterosexual couples, and it was drag queen.
With audience participation there. Well, now, are you planning to reprise that play again? It was such a great success, such a hit.
Actually, it will be opening for the Acadiana Pride Festival in March and April of this year. It's going to be their opening of their festival, and so, I am very honored of that fact. They've been very supportive of me and my book and my play.
Well, and they're trying to include all of the arts, literary, musical, visual arts. It's going to be quite an inclusive festival. And for those people who did not get a chance to see Chez Giselle and heard so much about it, this will be a great opportunity for them to see it as well. So we hope to talk to you and the Pride Festival more about that as that gets closer. So let's talk about your book. Again, if you are just tuning in, my guest is writer Dennis Ward, and he has just published his novel Mademoiselle Gigi. It's not a memoir.
No, it's historical fiction.
Historical fiction, but it was inspired by Gigi, by Giselle, who, of course, Chez Giselle was based upon. So how did you – that's a very interesting balance to have, isn't it, when you're using characters but creating something of their life that you're making up. How did you feel about that, entering into that?
It was a gradual process, but over the course of time, I became very intimately acquainted with these people, even though they've all passed. I knew the tenets of their life. I basically knew that they had left fled Paris when the Nazis entered France, and they had eventually ended up in the south of France in what was called Vichy. Mm-hmm. But I basically had to read a lot of history, studied the Holocaust Chronicles. I read every novel, fiction, nonfiction. I studied diaries, archives. Of course, I've been to France and retraced some of the steps of this family's life mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. And I was also very fortunate that there were still three octogenarian friends and relatives that are still living that had pretty good memories to add to stories to my novel.
And these were people that she kept in touch with them, or this was the first time that were they?
She had kept in touch with these people mm-hmm. to the end of her life. Mm-hmm. So it was relatively easy to get in touch with them and even visit them. And without giving too much of the novel away, it was quite interesting to see, as a Jewish family, where they passed their 4 years mm-hmm. during the war.
Well, to create a novel, you're creating a story, you're creating a situation. You do want to have some kind of, climax, I guess, in the story. And how did you structure that? How did you create from what the facts from her life, how did you create the story that became Mademoiselle Gigi, your novel?
I think right off, I saw that I knew the history of loss of certain key main characters. And it was a case of projecting how the circumstances would reach a climax towards the ultimate crisis in the climax of the book of mm-hmm. coming to terms with that loss. The family really had a belief that living in France, they were safe, that as long as we live in France, we will be all right. And they held to that tenaciously. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And ultimately, France let them down. And some of their relatives were lost in the Holocaust.
And you said that there was a particularly horrific thing that happened in the mid-40s, I think, in Paris, that you later found out had actually touched the lives of this family.
Absolutely. In 1942, the Germans rounded up almost 14,000 Jews in 2 days. They actually called the operation Operation Spring Breeze.
In Paris.
Ironically, it was called Operation Spring Breeze, where they pulled people out of their beds in the middle of the night and paraded them to green buses and loaded them to a stadium, a velodrome outside of Paris. And they were without food or water or medical care for almost a month. And then they were put on convoys in boxcars that were more or less used for transporting cattle and shipped to Auschwitz.
And one of her family members was...
Yes. He was on a convoy with 900, which 700 were children under the age of 16.
And this is not just in your novel. This is what actually happened in her
this
family.
This is documented mm-hmm. as fact.
And so really everything that you described, any of the horrors and that you know that that family experienced, even though you're creating certain stories that they had felt and experienced that horror.
I fictionalized the accounts because I never had the opportunity mm-hmm. to interview them or gather the mm-hmm. facts while they were living. Mm-hmm. I did know where they were living. I didn't have a thesis from another relative's that she interviewed the father when he was alive. He had crossed the line of demarcation between free France and occupied France, and he experienced a horrific event.
Well, Mademoiselle Gigi, a historical romance, this is your first novel?
Yes.
But you've done a lot of writing, as you mentioned, this wonderful play, Chez Giselle. So what was this experience like? Do you feel like you would like to do more fiction?
Well, I am writing a sequel. I'm in the process of writing a sequel called Chez Gigi. And that will be a follow-up. Mademoiselle Gigi takes place entirely in France from 1940 to 1946. And Chez Gigi will pick up when she arrives in New York Harbor.
And is supposed to meet her Cajun husband.
That's right.
Yes. Well, so she did actually, and we're just leaving the novel for a bit here, she actually made it down to Louisiana, obviously, and settled here, as quite a number of other women who came over after the war and married men from this area. And I'm sure that was a fascinating. Did you get to talk with her about that experience, or did you get to talk with her children?
Both. Those years, I learned quite a bit while she was alive, and her husband turned out to be a man who didn't turn out to be a good husband or a father. He was more interested in hunting and fishing than providing for his family. But, you know, I think it was a stepping stone experience. She moved on.
And didn't go back.
No.
No. Well, what was the experience like of writing? What did you enjoy most about creating historical fiction like this?
Oh, it was a pleasure to write this novel, just to learn so much historical information. So far, people who have read my novel love that fact that it's a strong historical novel with a lot of family love. They wouldn't have survived had it not been for the family love and the friends that aided them in hiding as Jews. So this comes across, and I think people who read it have a greater appreciation of our lives today, the freedoms we have, and how they lived with reduced rationing in the war years, and how they lived on just meager meals of Jerusalem artichokes and scant vegetables, no meat, no cheese, no milk, just bland soups for 4 years.
That would be hard for someone from South Louisiana, yeah. Wouldn't it? Well, you know, you mentioned that one of the things you liked the most was doing the research, and I have heard that people who do historical fiction just adore that aspect of it. You learn so much about a culture, about other people, things that you would not have encountered otherwise.
I really immerse myself. I read the Holocaust Chronicles. I watched every movie that was ever made pertaining to the subject. I subscribed to French television, so I watched series about the war. I really immerse myself.
How personally enriching, and it makes me wish that you had added a section in here with all of the things that you watched and read, you know, kind of your personal bibliography that that we could experience as well. But then you distilled all of that, and you put that in this book. So what was the actual writing of, what kind of fiction have you written before? Short stories, or what was the experience of writing fiction like?
I think, you know, writing short stories was my closest thing to writing a novel, but writing the short story, it's compressed, where writing a novel, you layer plots and subplots, and you start weaving them together, And what I did is I created a matrix. I had a timeline with all the characters, and then I started filling in the events in the matrix, and I could overlap events, and because it was pretty complicated. There were a lot of things simultaneously happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, just your description of what you researched and the time period and what they experienced sounds extremely complex.
When I saw the matrix, it was like looking at a painting.
Mm-hmm. Your matrix that you created for this, yeah.
Mm-hmm. For the book. Mm-hmm. And then I could understand what to write every day. My process was to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and be writing by 8, and mm-hmm. I would write till like 5 o'clock every day for 3 years.
That's dedication. That's commitment to this project. If you are tuning in, my guest writer Dennis Ward is talking about his book, his first historical fiction novel. It's called Mademoiselle Gigi, the story of a young Jewish girl's struggle to survive the Nazi occupation of France, based upon an actual character who lived in our community from France. What was her full name? Giselle
Gigi Carrington.
And your play, Chez Giselle, was based upon her experience with a nightclub here called Chez Giselle. And this book is available now. In fact, you will be signing copies of it this Saturday for Art Walk. You'll be at Cité.
At Cité des Arts. Mm-hmm. The book signing will happen from 5 to 7. And I'm very thankful to Cité. They have supported my book, my plays. And I'm very happy to be alongside Rhythm and Vision, an art show that's happening at the same time. And Greater Tuna will be showing later. So it's a grand slam at Cité this Saturday.
It's a multi-arts, multimedia presentation there on Saturday. And people can find out more about going to their website, the Cité website, and learning about ways to get tickets for Tuna. And so during Art Walk, they can go. They can get copies of your book. You'll be happy to sign it for them.
Absolutely.
And you mentioned the art exhibit. That is a part of Acadiana Pride as well.
Right.
That's one of their many components where they're celebrating and supporting the arts. So that will be going on as well. So Mademoiselle Gigi, and the sequel is called?
Chez Gigi.
And when do you hope to have that one published?
I will have that published next year, probably late next year.
Well, I look forward to having you back to talk about
that.
A holiday book. And if people can't make it to Art Walk this Saturday, where can they find out more about the book or find the book?
I have a website, denniswardauthor.com, and there are links to read excerpts of the book and links to Amazon to buy the book.
All right.
And the book will be available worldwide by January 1st.
Okay, so different ways, many ways to find Mademoiselle Gigi. And I have to ask, you have this lovely photo on the cover. Is that her?
That is Giselle.
She
was 17 and taken right after the war in 1945.
Amazing. It's just a lovely picture and just a testament to the spirit of this person that you are creating and describing in this book. Again, Dennis Ward, my guest, author of Mademoiselle Gigi. It is available now. You can find it. And during Art Walk, you can meet Dennis, talk with him about the book, and get your book signed as well, 5 to 7 at Cité des Arts this Saturday. Thank you so much, Dennis.
Thank you, Judith.